This is Useless Conversations with Kimmy
and Jess. Hey,
how's everything going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, you know,
always something to complain about.
Bingo.
You got that sexy voice.
Let me tell you, my seasonal allergies are kicking my ass.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. And it so sucks because I just started feeling better from having that second vaccination last weekend. And then on Wednesday, I was like, oh, I can feel it. I can feel the tickle. It's something's not right. This is not right. And now I sound like this.
Well, I like it. I think it's kind of cool.
I sound like a cougar ready to devour something, but it hasn't selected its prey yet. So it's just like purring to itself maliciously. I'm going to capture something and eat it eventually. It's so terrible.
Well, hey, welcome to season two.
Yeah, season two of the podcast. Huzzah.
Whoever thought it?
I mean, not me. I was like, let's start recording our conversations and see what happens.
And then here we are, season two, episode one.
There's going to be thrills. There's going to be chills. And there's going to be lies. The last one is the only guarantee. So I'm sorry for anyone who has an opposition to hearing other people drink beverages. That's going to be happening a lot tonight on the cast.
So, do you have something hot?
I do. I've been drinking since I got home from work. I've been making some very low dose hot toddies.
Nice.
That I would be aware and cognitive during the podcast. but then I started to get a little sleepy from it, you know. Can't imagine why. Probably the Jack Daniel's rye whiskey in the hot toddy. But so yeah. I switched to Earl Grey tea with whiskey because I'm not going to have it without whiskey. That would be stupid.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it depends if you just like Earl Grey tea, because that's fine too. I'm not here to judge anybody. Drink your tea and be unflappable, you know? I'm just saying everything's a little bit better with whiskey. Yeah. When you don't feel well, it's like, you know, self-prescriptive medicine kind of.
Well, I don't have any whiskey, but I got wine, so.
Oh, perfect. Is it your red blend?
It is a red blend. Mm. I don't know. It's a different one. I was actually looking for the one that you've been drinking and I couldn't.
I am obsessed with the 19 Crimes Snoop Dogg California Red Blend.
Yeah,
it's so good. I highly recommend it. It's so good. Plus, the label's not bad. You just look over your shoulder. Oh, it's Snoop in my kitchen. Snoop. Hey, Snoop.
Snoop-a-loop. Bring your green hat.
We're going streaking in the quad.
Prank the tank.
Do you think KFC is still open? Oh, man.
I don't know if we'll have enough time.
So I did listen to Origin and Tonic.
Nice.
I did. So I like passively listened to their other episodes at work while I was like working on stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I liked their back and forth.
Yeah.
I really liked your episode. I thought you did an amazing job, especially when it came time to plug our podcast.
Oh, stop.
Not opposed to that at all.
It's hard when you don't have your partner in crime there.
No, you did, though, because Aspen's your other somebody.
So
I definitely, I love your guys' friendship because it makes me feel very comforted that you have someone like Aspen in your life, because you and I have always been really close, but we've also always lived really far apart.
Yeah.
I'm comforted knowing that Aspen is, you know, there to go through life's events with you and vice versa. I love Aspen. I care about her like she's family. Thanks to you. Now I'm vulnerable to another human being I wasn't anticipating on having in my life.
You're welcome.
Thanks. so I'm glad that you guys can be there for each other. That's always good. But yeah, it was a great episode, so I highly suggest it. And not biased, just because it was like actually a really good episode of a podcast. And if you are a person who likes podcasts, you'll probably dig it.
Nice.
I just like their idea in general. I think it's a really fun idea.
Yeah.
Thoughtful, and it's original, and it's just cool and unique.
And Mallory's a lot of fun too.
Mallory's
very witty.
Is witty. She's off the cuff.
Yeah.
She's a riot, and she's really good at engaging the guests, which is great. I mean, I like her a lot.
Yeah.
I don't want to come off as a creeper or anything, but like, I kind of dig you.
Well, I've met her a few times. I've met her at their place of work, and I've gone places outside of work with them. And so it was kind of nice already being comfortable with them.
Yeah. It seems like she's the kind of person though that you could get comfortable with pretty quickly.
Oh yeah.
You kind of get a sense of people when you're listening.
Right.
How they are, how they converse with other people is kind of how they are. And so it just seems like she's that type of person that can make you comfortable.
Right.
But speaking of witty people, funny people, people who are off the cuff and give us guff. Today we have a very special guest, do we not?
Oh, we do.
Oh,
it's
we
do. Happening. Welcome it's to going. Season two, y'all.
Welcome to season two. It's going down for real. I can't because it requires a range that my voice won't go into right now. My baby cousin, your baby brother, Corey Mack is on the cast.
Oh, Corey Mack.
Corey Mack.
Hello.
That was the best intro ever. You really owned it, Corey.
I'm living up to my moment.
He's really got to be different than the rest.
That's really taking it away. You know, he steals the show wherever he goes, ladies and gentlemen.
I sure try.
I mean, you fucking stole my moment in adolescence because you came out looking so fucking cute, and then I was like obsolete. So.
Yeah, I still question that. Like, I feel like I'm a lot cuter than my sister, but my parents still favor her.
Whatever. He's totally the favorite.
I mean, you guys don't have to lie to get down. I think we all know that your parents would prefer it if I were just there all the time.
That might actually be true.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I flip them way less shit than you guys do.
Yeah, that's absolutely the truth.
That's 100% true. But it's also because I don't have to be there with them 100% of the time. So the facts of life.
So just recently, Corey came out to the lake, and my mom, she told him how much she missed him and how much she loved him. And I'm just sitting there watching, and I waited for her to be done.
Cool, Mom. Just gushing over Corey.
Yeah. So then she gave me some pity love, but I was like, yeah, I don't want your pity.
Right. Don't try to toss it this way now, Mom. I made you dinner.
Oh man.
Corey, you were a cute kid. There were a few things when we were growing up that were extra cute about you. Specifically your love for Toy Story. And
I had a Woody statue somewhere in my office. I don't know where it went.
That's amazing. And also, you really liked Buzz Lightyear too, but like in a way that was kind of like, I don't know, like he's cool, but like whatever. Like you were almost over it while you still liked it. And I'm like, is he just cool or am I not understanding the situation? I don't know. You were way cooler than me. You got to, Corey, this is a podcast. You have to talk. There has to be a back and forth.
I hardly talk in person.
I know. So, but now you're on, I need you to placate me a little bit. Like,
Toy Story was up there. Apparently Lion King was my favorite, but I also had a soft spot for Little Mermaid, I guess. I don't recall.
Listen, I loved that movie too. That's a good movie.
Plus, I wouldn't argue about watching that, so.
Yeah, like, you know, you can only watch, like, Toy Story and The Lion King so many times before you want another girl movie.
I'm sure Jessica knows all about that one.
Yeah, yeah. Don't. He totally wore out Lion King, and then Toy Story came, and he wore that out, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that specifically. I remember that you kind of always had like a bowl haircut.
You want to hear funny? You should tell the story about how that came about.
So from what I remember, my dad took me to Great Clips, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of my friends from daycare was there and he was getting a haircut and he was getting the bowl haircut. And apparently I said to my dad, I want my hair like that.
So what had happened was when he decided he wanted a haircut, he said he wanted a haircut like this kid at school. And my dad's like, well, we can't tell the hairdresser that you want his haircut if she doesn't know him. But then we went to the place and he was actually there getting his haircut at the same time.
That's so crazy. It was like the universe was like, you know what? Corey's been all right lately. I'm going to break him off something.
With a good bowl haircut.
Yeah. What he always wanted and he'll always regret. What was your worst year of school as an adolescent?
Probably the third grade, because I had a teacher. I'm not going to say his name, but he was pretty terrible.
I had the same third grade teacher, and I will second that.
I had a shitty third grade teacher, too.
Ruby would probably third it.
Okay.
That's where Ruby and I met.
So all three of you had the same teacher for that grade, and all three of you think that that dude was an asshole.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, then, I mean, objectively, I'd have to agree. No bias involved. JK, obviously. I'm very biased. But yeah, I had a shitty third grade teacher too. But she accused me of stealing a book out of my best friend's backpack.
Oh.
And one of the other girls clearly had done it and put it in their own backpack and said, I didn't put this here. I don't know how it got here. Maybe Kimmy did it. And then she accused me of stealing my own best friend's book. And I was like, first of all, I don't have to steal it because my friend will just let me read it.
Yeah.
She lived across the street from me. Like, I don't have to steal this book. If I want to read it, I can just read it. I don't know. And also, I had already gotten, like, it was from a book fair. You know, because we had the book. Remember the book fairs used to come, like, set up in the library and you could go in and you could buy a book?
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I'd
purchased my own book at the book fair.
Right.
So, like, our plan, my friend and I had a plan to read the books and then swap them, read the other book, and then give it back, you know?
Yeah.
And her book got stolen. I was kind of like, well, fuck, man. I was looking forward to reading that shit. We're going to have to go to the library now. I don't want to do that. Got to wait in line. I'm always late with this book return, so there's a fee. My mom would get pissed. She'd go to like rent a movie at the library and be like, I had to pay $1.25 because you didn't take that novel back for 2 weeks. I'm like, Mom, I don't think you can call the Boxcar Children a fucking novel, but whatever. Because the library was like down the street from our house. It wasn't far. So Mom made us leg it. Like if we got a book, we had to walk it back. That was in the 90s before they knew that kidnappers exist, but they were just kind of keeping their fingers crossed. And I don't know, were the fingers crossed that we wouldn't get kidnapped or the other way around? Like maybe if she takes off, she doesn't come back. I don't know. I'm just saying she's been sassy lately. That's all.
They did give us money and send us across that busy street to go to the convenience store.
Oh my God, you guys, I have the worst story of all time. Grandma gave me a fistful of change to go over there and buy a gallon of milk.
Okay.
I dropped somewhere along the way. I don't know how I got there to Howard's Corner. That was the corner store. I got there and I was short one dime. But the guy who owned the store also owned like the townhouses we lived in.
Yeah.
He's like, it's okay. I'll get it. You can come back with the dime. It's fine. Take the milk. Right.
Yeah.
Let's me leave with the milk. And I come back. I said, Grandma, I need a dime. And Grandpa pipes up. What do you mean you need a dime? I said, I don't know. Between here and there, he counted it. He said, I'm short a dime. And I didn't know if I dropped it in that busy street.
Yeah.
Or if Grandma just had not given me enough money. I couldn't tell Grandpa one way or the other. And Grandma was like, just let it go, Buck. And she pulled a dime out of her little coin purse and gave it to me. And I ran it back across the street. Grandpa literally rooted around for like an hour and just in between cars was searching the ground for that fucking dime. When he came back, he was like, you dropped it out there. I know you did. And we're going to find it. We're going to go out there. We're going to find it. And I'm like, Grandpa, you're just walking around in the busy street for a 10 cents. Like, do you want, I have a dime in my piggy bank. Is that going to settle the score? He wouldn't let it go. He was just out there trying to, you know, prematurely end his life or something, digging around in the street dime for an hour. And then finally Grandma yelled from the window, God damn it, Buck. Those are signature move, you know.
Grandma's catchphrase.
Her whole life's catchphrase, yeah. God damn it, Buck. Just get up here. It's a dime. Grandma just would never let him live any of that type of shit. And he had so many quirks like that where he was like, it's money. Money's valuable. Like, well, it's not worth an hour of your time to look around for a dime in the street.
Right.
But, you know, do you, old man.
It probably fell down into the sewer.
I think so, because there was a storm drain, like, right at the corner.
Yeah.
And that's where we generally crossed, because that's where you could get the best, like, viewpoint of all the directions of traffic that were coming at you.
Right.
It was like an uncontrolled intersection. No stop signs. And it was four ways. There's a whole roundabout there now. Because they were like, this is fucking problematic.
Yeah.
We just got a four-way uncontrolled intersection. Like, I bet kids have been crossing this for years and they wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah. I don't know how we lived through that. I remember getting money from my mom and going over there with you and buying the candy cigarettes. Like,
Sometimes we would get the gum kind because it had sugar.
Yeah. And so blow.
I totally remember. I thought that was really, and I think about it now and I'm like, that's target marketing, man. They were really trying to get us to believe that cigarettes weren't bad.
Yeah.
Well,
Big League Chew.
Oh my God. Yes. I was a grape fan, but yes. Jenny was more of like a strawberry girl, and I never understood why. The grape was like a million times better.
Yeah, I like the grape too.
The flavor lasted way longer. You got to back me up on this. Like the strawberry, it just would go out.
Yeah.
I'm an original man myself.
That's gross. I mean, I'm 8 and I really like regular chew. That's normal. was really funny because my mom, you know, my mom smoked when we were, my mom smoked from the time she was 15. And so she worked out an arrangement with our landlord slash the owner of the corner store that if my sister or I were the only ones in the store, that he would sell us her cigarettes and put them in a brown paper bag.
Benson Hedges.
Benson Hedges 100s. Yes.
My mom used to smoke the Benson Hedges Light 100s.
And yeah, and my mom smoked the regular 100s. And so she worked out this system with him where if no one else was in the store, she would wait. She would sit in the window and wait. And she would literally be sitting at the kitchen table watching the parking lot smoking a Benson Hedges. And then she'd be like, okay, Kimmy, now's your chance. And she'd hand me, you know, like a $5 bill. And I'd run across the busy, by the way, 4 lanes of traffic, this street.
Yeah, it was really busy.
Yeah, there was like a turn lane. Like, it kind of wasn't even really a lane. And then there were 2 ways of traffic, but there was also a center turn lane at that corner. Like, there was, like, a right-hand turn lane to turn down Norpoint. And then there was 2 lanes of traffic either way. And then there was, like, a middle turn lane.
Yeah.
It was like 4 lanes of traffic right at that corner that I had to cross safely. So I leg it. I take off with a $5 bill in my hand. And then I got to run back with a brown paper bag, not looking suspicious. And if I was lucky, she would throw a quarter in so I could get a piece of bubble gum. You know?
Don't be suspicious.
Like, seriously. And I think about it now and I'm like, first of all, that's so fucking illegal. But second of all, how funny is it that my mom made like an illegal arrangement with the landlord to sell me, an 8-year-old child, a pack of cigarettes. That was my mom, though. She'd find any way around anything. You know how she would make candy for everybody at Christmas?
I still do that tradition.
I know you do, and because you send it to me every year, and it makes me so happy because it reminds me of my mom.
Yeah.
But she would also... she would make a box for Uncle Mike, right? Yeah. To send it to him in California. She would make a box for him. Of course, that's her brother.
Right.
But she would sit there, same thing, kitchen table, sat in front of the window with her. She's smoking a Benson Hedges 100, blowing it in my face. Wait, just like waiting for the mailman to come to pick up the mail from the blue box across the street. And then she'd hand me the box and say, go, Kimmy, run. So that she wouldn't have to drive it to the fucking post office. I'm like, you gotta be kidding. I'm, first of all, of the 2 children you have, I am not the most expedient one. Jenny definitely has a body more suited for running. But for some reason, I'm the one who's stupid enough to sit next to you while you smoke in my face and wait for the mailman to come. I don't know why, but I did it. Uncle Mike always got his candy.
So. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I didn't really care. I didn't meet him till I was like 10.
Did you die?
But did you die?
Did you die? Dr. Cannon's the best.
He's a real doctor. I think we talked about this on the cast before. He's an actual physician.
Mm-hmm. He is, yeah.
And he was like, you know what? I just really want to act. Being a doctor shit's just not for me.
Isn't that what we're trying to do here?
I don't know what we're trying to do here.
I thought it was like, hey, I'm going to quit this lawyer shit and we're just going to podcast.
Yeah, your goal should be Joe Rogan.
It is a new season.
That's true. Anything can happen in season 2.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen. So I got to be more optimistic, apparently.
My memory does not serve me very well of the past, but one memory that I do have of my sister is I don't know who was all there. But they apparently thought it was fun to put me in a suitcase and push me down the stairs inside the suitcase. Apparently it traumatized me or something, because that's one of the vivid memories I have of when I was little.
Okay, wait a second.
I was just really quickly, before you even start talking, I have something to say. This sounds like some Brianna shit to me.
Okay. It started there. It started there, Missy's.
Okay. So I knew it. I knew it. She always had a fascination with pushing people down the stairs. I swear to God, she's the one who killed that woman in the staircase. Everyone wants to talk about the fucking owl. I'm pretty sure it's my cousin.
No, it started at Aunt Missy's. First, you know, we would get into sleeping bags.
Yes.
And then somebody would pull the sleeping bag down the stairs. Now, that wasn't the most efficient way, and we figured out why pretty quickly.
Because I remember doing that too, yeah.
Yeah, you could feel each one of those stairs on the way down. Yeah,
it really fucked us up. And one time Deej pulled me, I put my hands behind my head, but Deej pulled me way too hard down the stairs, and then he flipped me around the corner in the living room and then pulled me down into like the basement stair, like the basement stairway. So not only did I like bang my head on each one of the stairs coming down from the top floor, but then I got whiplash from him whipping me around the corner and then going down the next half flight to the basement. That, yeah. And I was like, don't you dare take me down the, cause they had, it was literally three half flights in their house.
Right.
I was like, don't you dare take me down to the bedrooms. I'm just like screaming from the inside of the sleeping bag. And he was like, fine, Kimmy Kai, you're such a weenie. But okay. So it did start there. Cause I was there for the origin of this game.
Yeah, it was a game. It was fun.
But anyway.
So also right next to the playroom at Aunt Missy's, there was a laundry room.
Yeah. And
so then somebody got the idea that laundry baskets were better, because then you don't quite take the impact of each stair.
Yeah, but all it takes is one bad push and you hit one of the stairs with the edge of the basket and then flip. You fly out of it. Yeah.
Right. So for my brother's safety and the concern I had for my little baby brother, he willingly climbed into a suitcase, which I might add was a hard surrounded suitcase. It wasn't
a hard shell.
Yeah.
Okay. You're fine.
And I only locked one of them so that it didn't fly out of it. I mean, it was for safety reasons. And it kept, he was entertained with that shit for like over an hour. Were we putting him in a suitcase and sliding it down the stairs?
But am I right? Was it you and Brianna?
Probably. Instead. Yeah. Probably in there too. I don't know.
Okay. Brianna would instigate some stairwell shit is all I'm saying. She'll be the first one to be like, stairwell, I know what we're going to do today.
No, you're not wrong.
Poor Corey.
Again, it was willingly.
Apparently.
No,
I mean probably the first few times, but after that he was probably like, you guys, I don't want to do it anymore. And you're like, no, come on, you're having a good time. And he was like, okay. And now we
see if we can make it around the corner and down the second flight of stairs.
If we push him really hard, he'll bounce off the front door and the trajectory of the impact.
No joke, there were some dents in the front door.
God damn it, Corey, you poor kid.
He's fine. It's fine.
I know, but that's the thing. Like, I always feel bad for Corey because there's a little bit of an age gap between... There was a row of girls, a string of girls, and we all hung out together.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, what is it, like 6 or 7 years between Corey and Brianna? You were 7.
We're 7 and a half, so Bree's probably like...
She was like 6 or something.
Yeah. When
Bree was born.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's okay. So it was like my sister, Stephanie, who's Brianna's, one of Brianna's older sisters.
Uh-huh.
Me, Jessica, and then Brianna.
Right.
So it's 5 little girls getting up to some fucking mischief. And then Corey just gets thrown in there.
Yeah.
And he's like 6-7 years younger than the youngest amongst us. And we're like, do you know what I've always wanted to try is like to fit into this suitcase and slide down the stairs, but I'm way too big. Your brother's really into Buzz Lightyear. We could lie to him and tell him it's like Buzz's astronaut suit. And we could probably
done that.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past us.
Yeah. I'm just saying, we really like, we're like, we want to do these fun things, but we're too big to do the fun things. Let's make Corey do it and see what happens. And then just calamity. Just pure chaos for Corey. And he's like, yeah, no, I'm fine. I can hang. Don't worry, guys. Really inside, he's like, this is going to be my trauma.
Honestly, I did have to babysit a lot.
Yeah, I do. I remember that. Yeah.
And so having siblings babysit siblings, that's not my fault.
Yeah. I mean, true that.
And
my sister had to do it too.
Yeah.
So I get it.
There was just a bigger age gap between us. So poor Corey for that reason, I guess.
Yeah, you're just shit out of luck, dude.
I mean, when I found out my mom was pregnant with him, I was like, this is amazing. And then when he came, well, so like I named him. They were like, okay, either it's Corey or it's Kyle, but you have to pick.
Which one did you choose?
I know it's shocking. But I was instantly like, it's Corey.
Aww.
And they're like, Corey Mac, it is.
Are you happy with that, Corey?
I'll take that over Kyle any day.
Did you ever think to yourself, like, if you really could have picked, why didn't you throw out a third option? Or are you happy that it's Corey?
Yeah. I'm happy it's Corey. I mean, if I really wanted to, I could always go by Mac, but...
Yeah, that's true.
I'm comfortable with Corey.
You could, if you really wanted to, I mean, you could really go down to any state building and just change your name, so.
I mean, it's not like the options were like Corvette and Jessica or anything.
That's funny. I know. When I was listening to Origin and Tonic and you said your dad wanted to be Corvette, I was like, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
But just to be clear, that's some shit that your biological dad would do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If he ever listens to this, which I highly doubt, he might be shocked at how much shit I throw his way.
No.
Yeah, maybe not. He did. he did one time. Your mom was like holding me over the edge of a boat, and it was so I could pee into the lake because I had to go potty. But we were like in the middle of a gigantic lake. I don't know where we were, and I was probably like 3. Maybe 4, maybe, I don't know. So she was like, I was in the life preserver, you know, and I'm in my bathing suit under the life preserver, and your mom's got half my body dangling in the water, and she's got me off the side of the boat peeing, and then your biological dad just starts the motor to scare me on purpose. So I start screaming, and she's just like, God damn it, Jeff. Which I was used to hearing because, you know, grandma did it all the time.
Yeah.
And so I'm screaming my head off. I start flailing. Your mom almost lost me. And she was like, if I would have let go of her, it would have taken her under and da 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 da. And she was giving him hell the whole rest of the day. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, that, if you want to talk about suitcase down the stairs, that's nothing. Compared to getting your legs dropped off.
Red wine everywhere.
Shit. Corey and I have a lot in common. Hashtag trauma bonds. To say. But yeah, your biological dad dramatized me in a big way. Because then after that, my entire family in Canada, they have boats, you know, because again, there's a ton of lakes where they live. Yeah. And I was always just so afraid that I would get in the boat immediately. And then I would sit in the very center of the boat, like away from the edge. And I would make damn sure that I had peed before I got on that boat.
I mean,
I was like terrified.
Fair enough.
Oh, I feel you. And now you're afraid of suitcases and stairs. I get it. You have to encounter in everyday life. I mean, I don't have to get on a boat, but you probably have to take the stairs sometimes.
No, that's why I live on the bottom floor of my apartment.
Right? See, that's, you fucked him up.
Didn't Dad get that call one time where he had a different family?
Yeah, so there's another guy with the same name as our dad, but a different spelling of the last name. And they got a phone call one time, and he's like, "Who's this?" And she was like, "The mother of your children." And my mom says she describes his face going completely white.
Oh my God.
And then they realized it was the same guy that like bill collectors were calling about.
Oh shit.
And they realized it was the wrong spelling, so it was the wrong Eric.
Right.
So since then, our dad thinks it's funny to joke about his other family. So whenever we think there's been an injustice of some sort, and we're like, "Oh, this isn't fair." He's like, "Well, it's because I had to get it for my other daughter." Or he'll tell my mom, "Oh, sorry, I got it for my other wife." Or
I think it's funny that that one-time incident has now become a lifelong joke. he's really beating that one into the ground, and I dig it. I'm here for that. That's so good. That's dad level expert. The funniest thing about your guys' last name, which I don't need to say on the podcast, is that I was spelling it wrong for a very long time on Christmas cards without knowing it. Christmas cards, my wedding invitations, all these different things, because my mom had it written down incorrect somewhere and I transcribed it from that. So Aunt Wendy, so I guess we can clear this up for people who are confused. My Aunt Kim and my Aunt Wendy married two brothers. So it was two sisters who married two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not weird. It's very normal. There's nothing wrong with it. But now they have the same last name. Don't get sassy on the cast. Have dirty laundry, we'll air it in the backyard later. But anyway, so Aunt Wendy responded with a Christmas card one time, and she wrote their last name really big and emphasized each letter on the envelope for their return address. And I was like, "Oh shit, I get it. She's sending a message. Okay, cool. Loud and clear." So that I finally fixed it. Why would I trust this? One, I got it from like an old address book or something. You know what I mean?
Probably because she's a left-hander.
She's left-handed too. Yeah, my mom was left-handed. You know, the devil in her hand made her do it. So,
and I know that pain too.
I know.
At least you know. I brought it up.
Yeah, at least you know where you're sitting at dinner. I mean,
we always get put together, and we have to think about it.
How you have to think about it at this point is problematic. Like the fact that you guys even have to sit there and think about it. Cause I had to sit, I sat next to grandpa for a long time, which wasn't my favorite thing to do, but I realized that it was because my mom didn't think I had good table manners, because grandpa would stab me with forks and stuff if I like reached something without just asking for it to be passed to me.
Right.
I didn't chew with my mouth closed, I got the fork. If I like reached for something wrong, I got the fork. And sometimes if all he was holding was a butter knife, he would slap me with the flat side on the hand. I mean, you're bitching about this suitcase situation, but I got shit for days, Corey. Like, I think I'm not trying to be comparative, but I think we got to just move on. But Jenny sat next to my mom, and like when we would go out to restaurants, she would automatically sit next to my mom without thinking about it, because at the dinner table, that's how they sat. And so whenever we ended up in a booth, I was always next to my stepdad. Because Jenny would just like slide in right next to my mom.
I think why I have to think about it now is because now, like, for instance, when we just went out to dinner for my mom's birthday, I sat next to Heather. So now Heather's a buffer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to get the brunt, it can be her.
Yeah. Let the spouse deal with it. I ain't doing it anymore. Yeah.
Smart. Jessica. Smart. You know what you're doing? That's relationship building.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Real truth shit right there. Good for you. Do you have Tweetin's tweets this week?
No, I thought because we had a guest that we would just focus on him.
But it turns out he's pretty boring, so we might want to bring up another segment.
You're not boring. Stop downplaying your abilities. Well, no. I don't have anything in particular. I do have one meme that just really pissed me off. The meme is like very floral, and then it has bubble letters, and it says, "You cannot heal in the same environment where you got sick." And that pissed me off really bad, because I was like, that's exactly where you have to heal. Unless you fucking move. Like, just so we're clear, you guys pushed Corey down the stairs in that suitcase when he was like, what, 4? And you sold that house last year. So he had to deal with that drama for years in the same place.
I was in that until I was 26.
No, I'm just saying, like, for over 20 years, you were in the same environment where you felt wronged. Also, there's a lot of people who caught COVID by being in a hospital, and then they got better by being in that same hospital.
I mean,
so, like, I understand that it's like, it's, you know, metaphorical. It's meant to be like, you know, if you're in a bad relationship, you can't heal. You need to get out of the relationship. But just say that. Just say the thing that you mean. Let's not tiptoe around it in this broad spectrum of things that aren't applicable. I'm just saying. It just is a really stupid meme. I don't like that one at all.
I agree. That is pretty stupid.
It should stop. It's like, stop. We don't need to create emotional support in the form of dumbass memes, you know?
I think you need to leave whatever group you're a part of.
I don't, because the thing is that I feel this tingle of excitement when I read one that I especially hate, knowing that I then get to bitch about it with you. And now, by proxy, with Corey. Like, if anything, this moment right now is making us closer, because he agrees that it's bullshit. Right, Corey?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if you didn't agree, I was about to push you down the stairs in a suitcase. And then make you live in that same place for 20 years. And you probably would have been fine.
I probably would have healed from it.
I think you would have healed. Absolutely.
I know you're trying to make me feel bad, but I don't.
Listen, I have never claimed to be the captain of guilt trips, but I was raised by one.
I think that's just a guilty thing in general.
Yes, preach.
Don't show mom. Holy,
yeah, no one tell her, Corey, you gotta stop snitching me out.
They'll never know.
How would they know? How would they know? They're not gonna know.
They're not going to know.
They can't even figure out how to put it on their phone. They're not going to.
You know, the thing is, though, mom knows we're recording and she's like, gonna be like, hey, I want to hear the one with Corey on it. She doesn't want to hear me. She wants to hear Corey. Corey and I are like complete opposites. Like,
yeah. I mean,
for those of us who know the two of us together,
yeah, you
guys see it. But I guess for the others out there who are listening, if they're still there,
hey.
Hey guys. Hey girl, hey. So, you know, Corey's a lefty, I'm a righty. He's got the dark hair, I got the lighter hair. He's got the dark eyes, I got the lighter eyes. In fact, Uncle Ben would say he's full of shit and he could see it in his eyes.
Yeah,
he'll tell me I'm full of piss and vinegar and he can see it in my eyes.
Say shit like that to me. Like, Kimmy, you're here. I love you so much.
Yeah, it's great to be everyone's favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel really good about it. So it's going well. You guys should try it out. It's really good on the other side.
No, like Corey's into computers. I'm into sports. Like, we're just complete opposites all the way around. Yet you put us in a situation. And we actually work really, like, opposites attract, they say. Whoever they is. I'm doing air quotes. I know you can't see that. They. So, about a year ago, my parents were going to sell their house, as we stated previously in the conversation.
Shocker.
Right.
And I won't point fingers. But there was a hole in the bathroom downstairs, the wall.
She doesn't want to say it, but I'll say it. I got drunk and I fell into the wall.
I'm not pointing fingers with air quotes. There was a big hole in the wall in the bathroom. And it was paneling that was probably outdated by a good 15 years, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I'd say more.
The paneling was terrible.
25 minimum.
So, we decided to do a little DIY for the parents, you know. And we borrow some tools. And we go into this. Now, unfortunately, Corey's not of a math mind. But luckily... Jessica, like, what is
there something unfortunate about that? Because neither am I.
Well, it was unfortunate that I was partnered with somebody that doesn't have a math mind, because I was doing all the math. And also, please think this through, because, you know, if you're doing drywall, it's one thing, it's going to fit in. If you size it the right way, it's going to fit in the way it goes. However, if you're doing paneling and you're doing all the measurements on the back, it's backwards.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd like you to think that through with somebody who's not in the math mind frame. So I'm trying to get him to check my work.
And I just look at her and I'm like, you need me to cut it?
So when we get all the paneling up and... Mind you, one of those panels, because we were in the beginning of the quarantine, it may or may not, in big black lettering, say, Carol Baskin's a bitch, 2020.
What's really going to be funny is in, like, another 25 years, when the family... lives there goes to move out and sell it to a new family. Yeah. They're gonna pull that out because inevitably their son will have gotten drunk and fallen into the wall. Or daughter. I don't want to be discriminatory about genders being able to be drunk. We've all been there. Come on. I never put a hole in a wall, but I've done other unfortunate things while inebriated.
I was just trying to tell my parents the paneling needed to be redone.
Yeah, like, you're like, is there a way that I can hide this up until the very last minute? And there was, because they had no reason to go down there. So it was like, right. Whatever. And then you even consider, like, maybe if I just put a just hang in there cat poster over this, it'll be fine, you know? But yeah, I think we've all done stuff like that, Corey. I don't think, you know, that's whatever, but it's going to be hilarious when they go to pull that up because their son did some shit like that and they're trying to sell the house. And they read that and they're going to be like, oh my God, do you remember Carol Baskins? Holy shit. Oh, that's so funny. Oh my God. So
we get all the paneling up, right?
Yeah.
And again, Corey's not a strong suit in the math, so I had to take the go of the math department.
Hey, however, Jessica, just real quick, you don't have to keep bringing it up. Well, just... I'm
strong, but I think that's twice now.
Yeah. Well, the first time she really drove it home, so I'm going to count it as three, actually. Thrice, madam.
Well, have you ever done trim, Kimmy?
Now, I would really like to remind you that trim has a double meaning. And the answer to both is no. But go on, I guess.
Well, you know, trim is not as easy as one might explain.
I think it depends on who you ask.
So how long are we gonna draw this one out for?
I think we're done with it. You're right. It was a bad one. You're right. That's hacky. I'll leave it on the table. Moving on. So math. You're really good at math, Jessica.
I mean, I wouldn't say really good,
but better than Corey.
It's a strong suit between the two of us. And it failed me, and we ended up having to go buy all brand new trim because somebody cut it wrong. But anyway, that's so fun. We went through a second round of trim, and we finally got it done, and we were pretty proud of what we completed, and we did add contracting to our resumes.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you at that point? Shit.
I feel like we did a lot. However, Corey has birds, and I know this seems like I'm switching gears, but I'm really staying on topic, I promise. He may or may not had a camera to make sure people weren't touching when they were coming in to look at the house. But we may or may not have heard the current owner of the house say how much he liked the bathroom down there.
Oh, that's great.
And he is the one that put in the offer that was sold to. So I kind of feel like we sold our parents' house with the immaculate bathroom we put in there.
More so Jessica, though, Corey, because she's so good at math.
I just wanna... We haven't seen the fruits of that labor, though.
I mean, Corey has. Last weekend, your mom was gushing over him, so. You know? And no one's thrown him down a flight of stairs in a really long time.
Yeah, so I'm doing good.
Yeah, Corey's got it together. Speak for yourself. He's making it happen.
I got to keep him grounded.
Yeah, that's true. You gotta make him walk the line.
I mean...
I did hear one of your podcasts where you were talking about music and you brought up the Strokes.
Yes.
I love that you know the Strokes because I love that band.
I love the Strokes too. There's something about their sound, and it came out, you were, you know, obviously you're younger than us when they first came on the scene. I think I was like 17. So you were probably like 10 or 11 when their first album dropped. But they're sort of like, it's an interesting combination of like, it's obviously it's alternative, but it's rock, but it's also like danceable in a weird way. I don't know. I just really love the Strokes. They're one of my favorite. They have been and always will be one of my favorites. Like Room on Fire was one of my favorite albums ever.
Room on Fire. I think Fire, I was like, good. I really, my favorite's First Impressions of Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good. Really good. But yeah, I don't, they're just so amazing. I don't know. And they're really talented. And I don't know. They haven't done anything in a really long time. I'm kind of like wondering if that's ever going to happen again.
Hopefully. I'm kind of wondering about a little Bow Wow though. I mean, what happened to him?
I mean, he's not little anymore, so.
Little Bow Wee.
Is he just like a little bowed out? I don't know. I mean, what do I know? I don't know. I have a lot of favorites though. I have a lot of like rock in general is one of those things where I could go on for days. Like Queens of the Stone Age and the Foo Fighters have a special place in my heart. Eagles of Death Metal, one of my faves. Love them.
Do you know Modest Mouse?
Modest Mouse is one of my favorites. Yeah, I love Modest Mouse. Do you know Pedro the Lion?
If you like Modest Mouse.
Yeah, if you like Modest Mouse, I think you would like Pedro the Lion. This is really good. And Minus the Bear is also pretty good.
Minus the Bear, I know.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I like them too. A lot of good indie stuff. What else do you like? Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. Jessica doesn't know. I have to talk hip hop with Jessica because she doesn't know any of my like fun indie bands that I like.
I do everything. I go all the way back to the 1940s with Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, all the way up to current stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely like that stuff too. Grandma was really into big bandstand stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really into like Glenn Miller and like other, yep, you know, war era time music. But yeah, Grandma taught Jennifer and I how to swing dance, but I always had to be the dude in the situation. So I had to like flip Jenny around. It was terrible. I mean, learning how to swing dance that way was awful because and the Cherry Pop and Daddies came out and Jennifer got really into that. And I was like, Zoot Suit Riot isn't anything to like write home about. Like, let's just listen to Glenn Miller and dance.
I think that Glenn Miller and Johnny Mathis has a very special place in all of our hearts because of Grandma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
Johnny Mathis Christmas.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's the only Christmas one I like to listen to.
Yep.
And it makes mom cry, but it's like my favorite Christmas music.
Yeah, it makes me cry too. I like it though. I like that I cry.
We did see him in concert. It was my mom, Aunt Missy, and Aunt Mary Kay. We surprised all of them and certain siblings of each auntie took them to the Johnny Mathis concert.
Oh, that's sweet.
And even Catherine was there, which was another generation below us, which is interesting because there was an older population there, if you will.
Yeah. Like comparatively to the crowd of people who like Johnny Mathis, she was probably really young.
And it was only a few years ago and he still has it. That man is amazing.
He is so talented. I love him so much. Grandma she would say things like, he sings the songs the way they're meant to be sung, and he doesn't try to add any frills or gimmicks. And yeah, that was the thing that she really liked. She was like, they're melodic and they're intentional. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was like a lot of Mariah Carey coming out with just like running the scale. You know,
yes,
just
girl.
Yes. just all I want for Christmas.
Yeah, speaking of which, I loathe hearing Mariah Carey do Christmas stuff.
Yeah, you know, I get Mariah Carey and I get that she has like an incredible range, but like the Christmas stuff is not for me. And also, she's an icon and I love her music, but the Christmas stuff is just not where it's at for me. She's talented. She has her place, absolutely. Yeah. I think she's talented. I just don't like the Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's not, for me, it's like, I want to be able to sing along, but that's what Grandma said. It was like, you want to hear Christmas music that makes you want to sing along. You don't want to hear Christmas music where there are a lot of gimmicks or frills. And that's why I really like the She and Him Christmas album that Zooey Deschanel and her musical partner put out. Mm-hmm. Because Zooey Deschanel has the same philosophy about music where, like, your music should be melodic and intentional. And that's what Grandma liked too, mostly specifically about Johnny Mathis. I do listen to mostly Johnny Mathis at Christmas, and also, you know, the Rat Pack, the good stuff, Frank Sinatra, yeah, and stuff like that. But yeah,
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby Christmas.
Bing Crosby is actually from here.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he grew up here in North Spokane. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. See how you just tied it all together? You're welcome.
There you go, Jessica. How does it feel? Do you feel good?
I'm good at math, so.
She's so good at math.
His brother Bob Crosby is also from here. Imagine that.
I wonder how that happened. It's almost like they grew up in the same house together. Maybe they grew up in your house and you took down the paneling that they put up.
Oh, snap. Oh, damn. I guess I have to be careful, but I feel like you live in a mansion. But then I'm waiting for a tiny home to arrive. So, I mean, if that says anything.
I don't live in a mansion. My house is an average, like, it's technically a 3-bedroom because the bedroom that's on the first floor is meant to be an office. It does not have a closet. There are 3 bedrooms upstairs. It's not a mansion. I don't want anyone getting a misinterpretation of what my house is.
It's 3 bedrooms, an office, a loft, and how many bathrooms again?
I thought you were good at math.
Get her, Corey. Take it to her. Yeah. Fuck you, Jessica.
Some of us are waiting for a tiny home that barely has a bedroom in it. In lieu of it being Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Mm-hmm. I'm totally out myself with an experience with my mother. And it probably won't look good on me, but it is also hilarious looking back at it. I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking it was Mother's Day, but I think it was Easter. And my mom had told me, my dad and Corey had already left. And it was just her and I, and we were going to go out to the lake. She told me to get ready. So I take a shower, and I told her, Mom, I don't have anything to wear. And she's like, well, you better find something to wear, because you're wearing something and you're going. And it just turns out that our basement had a flood. And so everything from our family room was like pulled out. It was like underneath the stairs, like the water faucet that goes to the outside.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Something happened with that and it like froze and burst. So underneath the stairs was filled with water. Our whole family room was filled with water. And my bedroom was off the family room. And so the couch that was in the family room was like pushed into the way of the hallway that would go to the family room.
Yeah.
And I tell you that because I get out of the shower and I'm arguing with my mom in a towel, and I told her I had no clothes to wear, so I couldn't go. And she told me it didn't matter. I was going to go. And so I better find whatever clothes fit that I had available.
Also, can I just, I'm interjecting and I don't mean to cut you off. This coming from the woman who literally like 2 weeks ago was like, I'm in a sweatshirt and my hair is from last night. But you were at the same location where at 18, you were like, I have nothing to wear.
Yeah, I was 18. I can't, that's the difference between 35, honey.
I know. Girl, I'm saying that's very funny to me. You're 18 and you're like, I have nothing to wear, so I'm not going to go. And like at 35, you're like, I'm in my sweatshirt. My hair's from last night. I don't give a fuck.
It's so true. That's the difference. And that's why I can laugh at this story now. So I'll even ask Corey right now, if you were afraid of mom or dad, who are you afraid of?
Mom.
Your mom.
Yes. Mom is the scary one.
I'm afraid of your mom and I'm named after her. She actually loves me very much and I'm terrified.
Yes. So I'm this combat with my mom in a towel. And so I'm arguing with her and she's like, I don't care, Jessica. Just put something on and let's go. And I was like, I have nothing to wear. And she said, not another word. Just go put something on. And I do what every 18-year-old girl should never do to their mother. And I say, whatever.
Oh, shit.
And she had just told me not another word. And the word that came out was probably the worst word that I could put out there. Her face said it all. And so I ran.
And of course you did.
Explained, we lived in a California split. So I ran from the bathroom, down the hallway, down 2 flights of stairs. And when I got to the bottom, the basement was flooded. And so there was a couch in the way to my bedroom. So oh, then shit. I thought, well, I'll go to my old bedroom. And then I realized, well, she can get in because there's no lock to that door.
Yeah, there was a lock on that door.
So I did this like teeter-totter thing. Like, I don't know where to go. And then she caught up to me and I looked at her. And the only thing I could do was get down on my knees and crouch and put my hands over my head.
In a towel.
I did that. I accepted defeat and I was just going to get beat, but don't hit my beauty maker here.
Yeah. I got to protect the face. That is some shit, man.
And doing that made my mom laugh.
Of course it did.
So it took 18 years to realize when you're in trouble, all you got to do is make mom laugh. And so she just bopped me on the head with a brush and told me to go get dressed.
It's really funny because, like, grandma was a spanker. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our maternal family, I'm pretty sure they spanked, but my mom didn't. Like, my mom didn't hit us ever. But I think it was because grandma was a spanker. But by the way, just to be clear, our grandmother was widowed with 6 children, right. Married a man who had 2 children, and then together they had 1 more. So they had 9 kids. You right. can't raise 9 kids and not hit them. Like, I don't know. How that, like, I have 1 kid, and the fact that he hasn't been hit in his entire life is a blessing for him, because I have thought about it multiple times. You have
guilty coursing through your veins.
I have. And not only that, but like my dad's family also hit. They're French. They have hot tempers, especially my grandma. You've heard the stories. You know, I peed the bed. It was terrible. But yeah, so it's like on both sides. But my mom was like this pacifist parent where she didn't like believe in hitting. And so when other cousins on our maternal side would talk about how they got spanked, I was like, oh, we don't do that in our house. And I remember grandpa used to play mind games with me where he would like make me pick my switch off of that tree that was right in front of our window in the townhome. And yeah. he would be like, oh, you better don't pick that thin one because, you know, when I crack that on your bottom, it's going to hurt real bad. And he would say stuff like that. But then by the time I picked a stick, I was so traumatized from having to pick the stick that he was like, go to your room and I'll think about when I'm going to hit you.
And I thought suitcases were bad.
Yeah, you're fine. Like, my shit was just like emotional damage. Your physical damage, you're fine. You recover from that pretty quick. But yeah, my mom would never let anyone spank us. In fact, she said one time, my dad, not my stepdad, my actual father, who was a wonderful father and a wonderful dad, but he was a spanker. And I don't think one is better than the other. Like, we don't spank, but that's mostly because my husband got his ass whooped as a kid. And so he doesn't think that it fundamentally helps in any way. And I'm kind of just like reactive where I'm like, I'm going to make you learn and I'm going to make you learn quick that you don't talk to me some kind of sideways. And Zeb's like, you're being impatient. I love my husband so much and he's the most patient man. I was telling him the other day, I think that he's the better parent because he's the more patient parent. And I am like French and Irish and I react and I can't help it. And I just have this like immediate emotional reaction where I'm like, I'm gonna hit this fucker. I'm gonna hit him. I'm gonna hit him. I never have. No one calls CPS. My son does not need an adult he can trust. He's never been hit. This kid has never had a spanking in his life because my husband's like, I just don't feel like it. This child trusts you implicitly. And they're the only person in the world that you can actually openly physically abuse and not get arrested for. So it's like,
I mean, I'm not going to say whether our parents spanked or not, but I will say if they Jessica, did, I may or may not have deserved it.
Yeah. That's what the thing is. Like the times I remember my dad spanking me and because we lived with him during the summer. The times I remember my dad spanking me, I was not listening. I purposefully went out of my way to ignore his demands to stop doing whatever behavior I was doing. And when I got a spanking from my dad, I absolutely deserved it. I absolutely had that shit coming. Like, no question. But my mom just like, she was super patient and she also... I think the one difference about my mom is she liked the slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
Where most Kilties are just reactive and we just like immediately, we do the thing that's going to be the quickest like resolution to the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the same way. Like in my mind, I'm already spanking him, but I haven't yet. I'm not saying that I never will. Because I don't know what kind of teenager he's going to turn into. If he's anything like me, we're fucked. So that's where I've come to terms with that. But in general, I'm on the same page with Zeb because he's very adamant about it. It's not because I don't believe in spanking. But yeah, objectively, absolutely, every time my dad spanked me, I had it coming. My mom was more about the slow burn. She was like, I'm going to ground you for 2 weeks. You can't do X, Y, or Z anymore. And you have to write me a 3-page paper on why what you did was fundamentally wrong, but also morally wrong. And I really want you to dig deep and think about it. And so then you're just in your room crying over like this pad of paper.
Right.
Write down why what you did was morally like disgusting basically. And she would come in and go, oh honey, how's that paper coming? Yeah, did you mention when you called me a bitch to my face? You should probably say that. Mm-hmm, yeah, go ahead. I need you to work it in somewhere in there so that we can all remember that you did it. Mm-hmm, yeah. I was 15 and she was going through menopause though, just to be very clear. and I didn't call her a bitch. I said she was acting like a bitch. And that was one of the other times I got hit. She slapped me straight across the face. So I guess that's the guilty button for my mom. But yeah, other than that, I got the spoon one time when I was 8 because she did ground me. And I looked at her and I said, "Mom, you know, you ground me, but you don't ever really enforce it. So I'm not going to go to my room."
Oh.
Yeah, and I was in the kitchen with her, and she grabbed the wooden spoon, right? Remember that? All of our families have, like, a utensil holder. It's usually, like, a vase or, like, something ceramic that sits on the counter.
I have 2 in my kitchen right now.
No, you do. We all have them. I'm not trying to pluck that out of a drawer. If I'm in the middle of frying something on the stovetop, I need it at the ready.
Right.
So she reached in that and got her good wooden spoon faster than I could turn around, and I was primed and turned around for an ass whooping.
She
got me by the back of the shirt, pulled me toward her, and just spanked the shit out of me with that wooden spoon. And I was 8. It was the first time she had ever hit me ever.
Were you ever, like, really grounded?
Like, we literally got locked. Not, she didn't lock us in our room, but she would walk up and shut the door and be like, "You can't watch television. You cannot do anything. If there's something you want to do, you have to ask me if it's okay to do it." So I'd be like, "Can I read a book?" And she would be like, "Which book?" And I would be like, "Goosebumps." And she's like, "No, but you can read Little House on the Prairie." It was it was very strict. And then also our stepdad saw that we were starting to kind of get chubby. So he started working in an exercise component punishment where we had to start running laps at the track at the school. Would drive us there and then make us run laps. And then we'd have to write the essay that mom assigned. And then we were grounded, and then we couldn't read Goosebumps. It was like a whole fucking thing.
Wow.
They were very, they took parenting, like, to a next level, extra super. That's why I was like, my mom really liked the slow burn.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, it was fucked up. It's almost more fucked up than just getting hit. Just hit me and get it over with.
Right.
I think I preferred that sometimes. Maybe that's why I'm so emotionally damaged, because she was like, "I really need you to think about what you did and why you did it. We need to have a discussion about it. Right. Then I want you to explain to other people in writing why it was morally reprehensible."
You mean it wasn't because of suitcases?
Oh, my God.
To be clear, like, put me in a hard shell suitcase and pushed me down the stairs, but they might as well have, with the kind of guilt trips I was getting.
It was willing.
You know what? It's willing. It's only willing if the participant is the same age as you. Because if you're older than the participant and you know better, then it's not willing. You're tricking them.
Oh, come on. He climbed in on his own and he said,
My sister invented a game called Kill Dance. And grandma, by the way, just let this shit play out. Like, she would be sitting at the dining room table eating a Tums, doing her crossword puzzle, just watching this shit happen in the kitchen.
It's across from her TV.
She probably in her mind was like, "These kids are so fucking stupid. This shit is funny to watch. You cannot make up this shit." But she invented a game called Kill Dance, and it was literally where we would dance around the kitchen to a song, but she would hurt me on purpose while we were dancing to this song. Like, the whole point was to, like, hurt each other. And I just thought it was normal, and I totally went along with it and was like, "Yeah, this is a fun game. Ow. Yeah, I'm having fun. Ow. So this is normal. Ow."
She invented a mosh pit is what I'm hearing.
I mean, not even. She would, like, tango with me and then, like, purposefully hit me. Like, and grandma was just watching it happen, be like, "Be nice to your sister."
Corey, were you ever grounded?
No.
Oh my you God. Know? I was grounded one time.
How this it's so funny because our moms were so close as sisters, and in their adulthood they were very close, and the fact that their like parenting styles were so different is bananas,
right?
Yeah, also just so we're clear, like I'm on board with your mom's parenting style. I don't even give a fuck, like Zeb is my mom of this situation, and I'm the Kim Kilty of this situation.
I guess I'll be the one to admit it. I was never grounded, but I love you, Mom, and I'm going to say it. My mom slapped the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It was pretty effective. You probably fucking had it coming.
Yeah, my mom would always threaten to do stuff like that, but she never did it. It was always like a threat, but it never came. Like, I remember being in the grocery store and she would grab the front of our shirt and she would twist it until our bodies were inevitably dragged close to her, you know? And she'd get right down in our face and she would whisper, but like directly into our face with her crazy eyes staring at us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting in line at the pharmacy. And if you ask me one more time if you can have that silly putty, I'm going to take you into the bathroom. And I'm going to beat your little ass until it's red. And then she would just like let go immediately of your shirt. And then you kind of like, you know, you backstepped because you were twisted into this position. So then when she lets go, the tension is released. So you backstep and then you kind of like move back anyway. Cause you're like, holy shit, she's on the fritz. What's happening to my mom who doesn't hit me? She said she was going to take me into that bathroom and whoop my ass. So then you just stand there quietly in line and don't talk about the silly putty at all. You're like, I don't need that shit. If it leads to an ass whooping, I'm not going to talk about silly putty ever again.
There's definitely a Kilty look.
There's that crazy look. The eyes get so big.
I will say this. I don't think every Kilty woman disciplines the same way.
Yeah.
And I'll keep anonymity because that's who I am. I know there's one that either flicked and or pinched.
Yeah.
I know there's another one that had a belt that was threatened without all of our names on it.
Yeah.
I never saw it, but it was there.
I never saw it either, but yeah.
I know there's certain ones that spanked.
Mm-hmm.
Grounding was another
guilt trip. I think
they all did it differently.
Honestly. They did, yeah, absolutely.
It's like they were trying their own like experiment.
Yeah,
which one's more effective?
Yeah, that's probably what it was. They had like a Kilty summit, and they assigned the type of punishment that each one of them would dole out. And then once a year they would reconvene and be like, well, how effective was it? Well, I did have to use the belt this year on so-and-so. No change reported.
Because there was 9 of them. We were a perfect experiment.
No shit, dude. It's so crazy too when you think about how big our family is and like so much about who we are fundamentally and like morally is very similar, but it's also very different. Yeah. Like each family has its own like unique like memories and traditions and things like that, like each individual like immediate family, but then together as a group we also have things that we constantly do. Just I don't know if it's like force of habit or whatever, like the Johnny Mathis thing. Like we all listen to that at Christmas time individually from one another, but we know what it means. There's a reason why I cry every time I hear it. It's not like it's not something that everyone else is feeling. My sister listens to it too. You know, like we all have that thing. It's like,
and I think it's also like the hand squeeze, the 1, 2, 3.
Yes. Absolutely. It was really sweet when I got Aspen to do it because that was like inviting her into the fold a little bit. And it made me happy that she knew that's what it meant.
Also, a loyal listener, might I say.
Yeah, good job, Corey. Good callback. Great callback to the previous episode.
I tried.
Season one. That was way back in season one, Corey. Oh, my God.
I'm a binge listener.
Whatever. Which, you know, I might say, Kimmy, going back to season one, since we're here right now, I did not get to thank you for starting this whole thing up. We thanked a lot of different listeners. But I do want to thank you also, because first of all, it's been a hell of a year. Secondly, you got me out of my comfort zone and got me doing a podcast. Who would you ever think I would do a podcast?
When she told me she was doing a podcast, I was like, what?
And three, we actually, regardless of who's listening, we have a record of conversations forever.
Yeah, it's so nice.
And I totally appreciate that. So I love you and thank you very much for that.
I mean, a no sweat, dude. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for doing it with me. Like, it's not like I can just get on here and talk by myself. You are the perfect, like, podcasting companion for me. Aww. You let me just, like, you know,
I'm cool and shit.
It's not just that. I think that it goes back to, I mean, yeah, you're cool and shit. And also, in case you didn't know, she's really good at math.
Oh, stop.
But we've always had very easy conversations. It's something that I've valued about our relationship from a very young age, is that our conversations were always really easy. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to put in as much. I always felt like with certain people, I had to read them first and put in all this effort. And like, there's a lot of stuff that has to go into a conversation when you're talking to people you don't really know. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting because we were born so close together and our mothers were very close as sisters. So you're my cousin, but it's almost like I can talk to you with a look on my face when we're in the mm-hmm. same room and mm-hmm. no one else knows what I'm saying but you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a look on my face and you know exactly what I'm saying with that look. And so it's very easy to podcast with you because A, these were conversations we were already having, as I've said a million times before. We just decided to finally let the world, well, you know, like 34 people or whatever, yeah. listen to the conversations. But also, it was also something to get me out of my comfort zone too, because I've become, I don't know, stagnant's not the right word, but I think 2020 was a really hard year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so much anxiety during 2020. I actually had to go back to therapy for a while because I just wasn't in control of like anything that was happening. And it made me very anxious and nervous all the time. And I'm on the other side of that period of therapy because I've gone to therapy off and on in my adult life. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that these conversations have a lot to do with it. Like
Aww.
Us talking to each other on a more regular basis and like mm-hmm. connecting more regularly, that has really helped me. So I thank you also for that.
Aww, thanks.
Therapist doesn't, because I don't pay her anymore. I just make you look into my shit. Like,
I'll send you my bill.
If you can send it to www. Kimmy doesn't have any extra money. /anchor/useless convos.
Also, I feel like we left out a few people of our chat. Kitty is a loyal listener and she does comment sometimes, whether it be publicly or privately. She's also our fact checker and I must call her out. She may or may not be busy right now, I don't know, but Back in season one, maybe episode 14.
I thought you were good at math.
Corey!
There was talk about a certain Catholic school.
Yes.
And it was brought to my attention that it was actually St. Charles that the kids attended.
Oh, and it wasn't St. Aloysius like I had thought.
No, St. Aloysius is actually the place where Grandma and our paternal grandfather were married, along with my mother and my birth father.
I was going to say something else, but I'm
not. I was going to say something else.
there was a pause. Anyway, St. Charles is the school. So, Kitty, thanks for fact-checking all that, by the way. Okay. His spouse, Heather, she doesn't participate publicly necessarily, but she also will message me or talk to me personally about our conversation, so I appreciate her support as well.
Yeah, thank you, Heather. That's really nice. I'll wait for my invite to the wedding, Corey.
Well, not to sound like every other company, but we're waiting until COVID is over with.
Last night, I'm not lying to you. I'm dead serious. Last night, Zebulon made dinner and we all sat down. Or no, last night I made dinner. Correction to what happened last night. I made dinner, but it was meatloaf. So Zeb had to make him second dinner. He didn't like meatloaf. Meatloaf and mashed potatoes were not his thing. And Zeb sits the second dinner down in front of Ezra on the table. And Ezra goes, I just really miss cousin Jessica.
Aww.
And I was like, I know, buddy. I miss cousin Jessica too. I know. I understand. And he was like, no, you don't.
We'll have to set up a special Ezra trip then.
Yeah, and Corey, maybe come next time. Like, come over here and visit me. I got nothing but space in this gigantic mansion, according to Jessica.
It's true.
She is pretty good at math.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew, but like, she can eye a room and immediately know the dimensions and shit. So, like, no, but seriously, you should come visit and see how not a mansion I live in. It's very much like a cookie cutter, suburban, you know, it's just one of those like D.R. Horton homes where they put them like right next to each other, one after the other.
Here she goes bragging again.
You know, just don't throw me down the stairs in a suitcase and we'll be all right.
I promise I won't do that to you.
Stairs have a bend too. You might not be able to walk up them.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do anything that traumatizes you in a way so bad that you talk about it over 20 years later on a podcast.
Yeah, thanks for that.
You're welcome. All right, well, this has been a riot. I've had the best time ever. But it's closing in on midnight and I gotta go to bed.
Yeah, I hear you. Right. Go rest that voice.
Yeah, it sounds like garbage. We'll see what happens next week. Hopefully my allergies get themselves under control by then.
Yeah.
The voice is the moneymaker. If we can't make this podcast work because I go, you know, mute.
I don't know. She's an inspiring mathematician from what I understand.
Well, thanks for spending time with us, Corey. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us and, you know, like wrap me out and stuff.
Yeah. Also, hey, really quickly, since we're all together, a few more people to give thanks to. All of our friends at the PNW Foodies group. I know we mentioned them last week. Go check them out if you're interested. My friend Desiree Phillips, she's a big fan. She's been following, I think, from around the beginning. My friend Olga Diaz, who's been following off and on from the beginning. Thank you, ladies, big shout out. We appreciate all of the support from everybody who supports us.
Thank you.
It's really nice. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. So, all right.
Welcome to season two.
Yeah. Season two. Welcome to season two. Here we are.
Pop that champagne.
Yeah. I mean, not together in the same room, but like individually and metaphorically.
Right. Right.
All right.
Okay, until next week.
Until next week.
I love you.
I love you huge.
Bye.
Bye.